Come on, welcome to BC, man. I love our time of worship. I love our time in communion, man. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I love our time of word. We've got a short time this morning due to communion. And I want to drop something to you because I think this is the deal. Please hear me, man. As we get into this message as a part of our marriage series, Love, Joy, and Peace. I want you to understand this right off the bat, man. This is one of those messages that you walk out of this place different if you get it. This is one of those messages that rearranges your home, rearranges your marriage, rearranges your kids. I'm telling you, this is one of those things that if we get this, this is one of those instantaneous changes that you can change the atmosphere of your home instantly if we understand the power of about what we're going to say. Man, this is from God's word. This is from God's advice to us. We're going to get into Proverbs and go through many places in Proverbs. And when you understand that this alone, there is such an effect and there's such a power in this, what we're about to talk about, it can immediately have an impact on your home. Immediately. It can change the atmosphere of your home. That's how powerful this is. And I need you to clue in just for a short time. I need you to really get into this. And I need you to hear this because when you understand that we're going to talk about the words that we speak in marriage to the one that we've committed our lives to our very best friend, the depth of that relationship, to our lover, to that which is that we are intimate with, that person, how is it that we speak to that person? How is it? What are the type of words? Do we lift up or do we tear down? Do we build into and encourage or do we tear apart by the words we speak? And instantly you can walk out of this place today and get this and say, I am going to change the atmosphere of my home because I'm going to begin to speak life. And in speaking life, it changes the atmosphere of your home. And when you understand what the Bible says in this, I want to show you a funny thing that I found this week because I think this is sometimes where we're at in marriage. If you were my husband, I'd poison your coffee. If you were my wife, I'd drink it. Sometimes there's just a battle that takes place in the walls of a home. And sometimes you feel like, man, if I could legally kill him, he'd be done. He'd be home with Jesus. I know that he's saved. It'd be fine. He'd be with Jesus. Awesome. You know, arsenic and lace. Like, just end the deal, right? Like, come on, be done with it. But sometimes I think our words can get us to this place. And when you understand the reality of what it is to speak life, and we understand the reality of what your tongue can do and the power that it possesses, it should be handled very carefully. It should be respected, folks. When you understand you respect its power, then you change what you say. When you really believe that it's powerful, the words I speak can heal or they can hurt. The words I speak can bring death or they can bring life. When you understand the authority that you have in your mouth, in your words, when you have that understanding of its power and its authority, you'll respect it a little bit more. It's like a chainsaw, man. When I see anyone holding the chainsaw, you respect that thing. And listen, it's got teeth. Well, you got teeth. Most of you have teeth. Chainsaw has teeth. You respect that chainsaw. I try to have a gun on me at most time. You better respect the gun. If you carry a gun, you own a gun, you respect. It's a little man. It fits in your hand, but it can do great damage or it can save lives. You respect that because you know its power. You respect an auto. The biggest killer in all the world is an automobile. So you better respect the automobile because you know its power. You know its authority. I think, please hear this, man. I believe that the most devastating thing in marriage is our tongues. Is the words that we speak. I think that devastates and that hurts more than anything else in our marriage. Or it can be the greatest. It can bring life. It can bring healing. It can bring encouragement. It can build your marriage up. Either way, when you know its power, you respect it. Come on, turn to two places with me, please. James 3 and Proverbs 18. James 3 is where we'll start in Proverbs 18. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this time. God, I just want to be able to communicate this well in the short time that I have. That God, the words that we speak are powerful. God, I just pray that everyone in this place would respect it, would know its power, and they would respect its power. God, help us to walk out this place different this morning. God, that you would speak to our lives. God, speak to us today. God, we're speaking on marriage and husbands and wives. And God, those who are single in this place, God, help them to understand there is authority in their words and they need to speak life being single. and they would understand what it is to speak life now, so that when they get into that relationship and they understand what it is to marry your best friend, they understand what it is that this is my lover, this is who I'm intimate with, this is my lifelong partner, this is who she is, or this is who she is for me forever, and how I speak into them is everything. We would learn it now. Folks, would you please ask God this morning, God, speak to me. God, convict me this morning. Change me today. God, that after this, I have the ability to change the atmosphere of my home today, right now, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, James 3, verse 2 says this. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, that's the words we speak, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Look at this, able to bridle the whole body as well. Verse 2 says this. Now, if we put bits, highlight bits, into horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body. Highlight bits, highlight direct. They will direct their entire, we got this huge, we have people in this church that have horses. They understand the strength of a horse. They understand the ability to move that horse by this little metal piece that they put in the horse. It's by that bit that you can direct that whole body of a horse. It's impressive. Now look at this. Look at the ships also, as they are so great. We're talking about massive ships that they are driven by strong winds and yet still directed by a very small rudder. Highlight directed, small rudder. Wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. Now look at this. You've got a horse, this beast of an animal, that is driven and directed by a small piece of metal in its mouth. You've got this humongous ship that is directed. And if you know anything about storms, if there's a storm, it says by strong winds, you head right directly into the storm. That's what you do if you're navigating. I'm no pilot of a ship by any means, but I know that this is to be true, that you head right directly into it, or you're going to capsize if you go sideways. And the thing that gets you there, the things that get you through that strong storm, is this little tiny small rudder that directs, gives direction to the huge ship. And look at here, look at what he says. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Folks, our tongue can fit in our hands, but it can rearrange your whole life. That's what he's saying here. You've got these small metal pieces that can direct anywhere that horse would go. You've got these small rudders that can direct the direction of the ship, and your tongue that could fit in your hand can make or break your entire life, can make or break your entire marriage. That's the authority, man. That's the power that it has. Small but mighty. How great a forest fire sets aflame by such a small fire. I mean, honestly, how many forest fires or lands or homes or millions and millions of dollars have been burnt to the ground because of one small spark in a forest fire that just keeps going and going and growing and growing? Look at, you got to understand, this is what he's saying about our mouth. And he says this, and the tongue is fire, a very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members, that which defiles the entire body, that which can fit in your hand, your tongue that fits in your mouth. It can defile your entire, it can bring direction and failure, or it can bring life to your entire body. Now look at this, and sets on fire the course of your life, and is set on fire by hell. Do you realize that the enemy understands this, and he wants hell in your mouth? You got to get this, man. When you understand, we've already read, no one's perfect. No one is going to, the Bible says this, I want to show you this in verse 8, but no one can tame the tongue, for it is restless, evil, and full of deadly poison. Hell wants to be in your mouth. Hell wants to occupy your mouth. And the only way to get out of that is a divine intervention by God through the Holy Spirit that comes in and rearranges you, and all things become new. I mean, we could go through this room and hear almost every single person here how they have been broken or hurt by someone's words, by something somebody said. And how is it that even the one who is our best friend, the one who is our lover, that which we are intimate with, that's who we are with forever, at times we can be hurt the most by them. Hell wants to occupy your mouth. Okay, when you understand that it is small, but it's powerful. I looked up some things this week. I want to show you some pictures here of some things that are small but powerful, because I want you to really understand this. You've got the box jellyfish. Okay, this thing is deadly. It kills about 30 people a year. Just a small jellyfish that can fit in your hand. This thing has such a sting that it stops your heart. The way a man dies from this is from a heart attack. Look at the next one. You've got the blue-ringed octopus. This thing is about 1 inch. It's this big. And it's from Japan and Australia. If you step in the waters and you step on one of these, the chance of you living is slim because it suffocates you. The venom is so powerful. It's 1 inch. This is amazing when you understand this little creature is about 1 inch to 2 inches big. And if you step on it, it could suffocate you. And if you don't get immediate, an instant medical attention, you could stop breathing. Small, but powerful. Look at the next one. Okay, this thing is just cool looking. But this thing is deadly. It's called the poison dart frog on purpose, where the Indians of old, that they would get the poison, extract the poison from this frog. This frog is about this big, and they would use it as their blow darts to kill their enemy. Powerful. I mean, who was the test dummy to figure out that was poisonous, right? I mean, hey, step on that frog and let's see if, oh, yep, he died. Let's use it for poison. Perfect. I mean, it's small, but deadly. Look at the next one. Here you've got the Brazilian wandering spider. This is an attack monster. Most spiders do not look to attack. Most spiders just will try to avoid you. You come in, they hide. Even a tarantula, people freak out over tarantulas. They are more scared of you, and they will try to run and scurry and hide. This baby here is one of the spiders that looks for you to attack you. And if he bites you, it could be a very bad day for you. He is an attack predator monster. And he's less than your hand. I mean, a spider bigger than your hand is bad news anyways. But we're talking small and mighty. Powerful. Deadly. Now look at this next one. Same thing. This is just a snail. This is just a cone snail. And he is a predator. He looks to attack. And when you study these things, he's got this amazing spear that shoots like a, I mean, they did it in slow motion and has blown it up to 1,000 times. And it's like a spear that shoots into their prey, paralyzes their prey. If you step on it, there have been some who have died from a poisonous cone snail. It's just, it's crazy. And then the smallest but most powerful of all is this guy. I mean, you don't mess with the Jedi Yoda. I mean, a little green, he looks like a frog, but he's powerful, man. He's deadly. Come on, look at this. Gang, what happens when you really understand what James is telling us here, that your tongue is small, but it is powerful. It's powerful. It's mighty. How many have truly been bitten by the words we speak? Or you bite your wife or your husband by the words you speak? Come on, Proverbs 18. I want you to get it. You probably know it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when you understand that this is God's advice, I love Proverbs. You know I love Proverbs. It's one of my favorite books. If someone says, well, what is Sean's favorite book? You can just tell him Proverbs. You would be correct because it's God's advice. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Look at what happens when we speak life. What happens when we really understand that I can encourage and I can build? Do you understand that you can change the atmosphere of your... Listen, Renee could be having the most amazing day. Everything is going great. The kids are all in line. Perfect kids. She's had her time. She's gone and worked out. Everything is great. And I can come in and in one sentence, I can destroy her day. In one stupid word, I can destroy my wife's day. That is the power and that's the authority. Or I can come in, if she's having a bad day, I can come in a sentence and I can speak life and breathe life to her by the very words I speak. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. God tells us this over and over and over. And when is it, church, that we really understand the authority that we have in the words that we speak, that we have to understand what it is to respect our words? And we're just not free to say anything that we want to free. We're free in America to say what we want to say, to a point, I guess. But we're not free before God to say anything we want to say because there's consequences. Man, there's power and there's effect to the words that we say. Come on, I want to go through Proverbs. If you have your Bibles, please bring your Bibles. Love the Bibles. We're going to zip through this. Proverbs 12. We're going to go through some words in Proverbs here just to make this absolutely clear on what we're saying here. Proverbs 18 says this. Proverbs 12:18 says this. There is one. Now, I want you to understand this. We're going to identify this because when you really understand the authority and the power and the words that I speak, it's either can hurt or it can heal. It can hurt or it can heal.
Again, in the context of marriage, the one that you really spend the most time with, the one that you sleep with, your very closest best friend, the one that you are intimate with, the one that you know inside. No one knows this person like you know this person. Are you speaking more words that hurt, or are you speaking more words that heal?
Because this is what it says. Look at the contrast here. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword. It's kind of like that corn snail, man. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 13, verse 3, right across the page, it says this. I love this. When are we going to understand this? The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. Look at what God says. How many people do you know lost a job because they opened their mouth? How many people do you know rightfully got fired because they said something that was completely out of line? How many of you know lost a promotion because of stupid coming out of their mouth? You know, it's amazing. I try to tell my kids all the time, you have no idea who's going to be before you in 5 years. You have no idea who's going to be interviewing you for a job in 5 years. So you better be real careful on the things that you say to anybody that is in this area or ever, but really, really letting them know people don't forget stupid people's words. People don't forget, man, that was that Obergefell. He said this, and it could be 5 years ago. And then all of a sudden you find yourself at an interview and he's the one interviewing you for a job. You think they're going to forget what you said 5 years ago? Folks, we have to really understand that when you understand this, the one who guards his mouth, look at the power in this, preserves, that means protects his life. And the one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Listen, you can help or you can hurt. You can hurt or you can bring healing. You can live a very protected life by setting a guard. And this word here, it's a military term. It means with thorns, like a hedge that has thick thorns that you can't get through. Listen, there's so many of us that could use that guard. We want to put thorns around and be very careful on things coming out of our mouth. That's what this means. The one who guards, the one who maintains control of his mouth, preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Just that verse alone is powerful. Come on. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Again, God's advice. Look at this in marriage. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A gentle answer. When you get into the battle, man, when you get into this back and forth and we started to argue and things just aren't going well and he came home angry and I've already been angry, so this is a good day to fight. Let's go. We're both having a bad day. Let's get it out on the table and let's bring it home. I mean, this is like, but when you understand that a gentle answer turns away wrath, you can't argue. It's difficult to argue with someone who has this gentle spirit. Like, would you raise your voice? You're making it difficult for me to argue with you. Would you raise your voice? Would you say something? A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And I want you to be real for a moment in your marriage. How true is that? That harsh word, it just goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then all of a sudden we become historians and we start bringing out the past. Well, you did this. Remember 8 years ago? Do you remember 10 years ago? Do you remember last week? Do you remember last month? And instead of, listen, I asked your forgiveness of that and you said that you were forgiving me. Why are you going back? Because a harsh word stirs up anger, and that's what anger does. Come on, Proverbs 17, please. Proverbs 17, 14. And along the lines of that in Proverbs 15, look at this. What if we did this? Verse 14, the beginning of strife is like letting out water. So abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. Someone's got to stop. Like the beginning of strife is like opening a faucet and letting it go. But the one who abandons a quarrel turns off the faucet. Like, nope, we're not doing this. Nope, we need time. Nope, we need to go rest. Nope, we need to let the dust settle. We need to let the sand fall, and we come back and communicate when we have our right mind about us. Because that's the one who can turn it off. Now look at this, same chapter, verse 27, 28. He restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. He who restrains his words has knowledge. I love this, verse 28. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. Come on, Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Look at Proverbs 22, 24. And singles, I want you to hear this, please. Men and women who are single, I want you to hear this. Verse 24 says this. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man.
Ladies, if you're single in this place and you have a man who truly has an anger issue, God says, don't go with that hot-tempered man. That is just trouble ahead for you.
Or, look at this now, you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself.
Isn't it amazing that God's advice sometimes just hits right to the heart? That this is God's advice. Don't go with a hot-tempered man or you will become like him and you'll find a snare for yourself. That's just truth. That's God's advice.
Come on. Last one, Proverbs 29, verse 20. Do you see a man hasty in his words? For there is more hope for a fool than for him. Ladies, I just need to just speak to you just for a moment, because Proverbs tells us about a contentious woman. And contentious means one who always wants to argue, one who loves to quarrel. And when you understand what it is to be a contentious woman, this is what God says about that. And there's four places in Proverbs. We're only going to read two. Proverbs 19:13. A foolish son is destruction of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a constant dripping.
Contentious means one who loves to quarrel, one who likes strife. The Bible says that's like a constant dripping, man. The Bible says to a man, that's torture. Like, that's what he says. That's torture. That's like a constant drip. Man, I tell single people all the time, don't date a drip. Don't marry a drip. If you date a drip, you're going to marry a drip. Don't date a drip. Like, if you're single and you're dating a drip, turn the faucet off and move on. Like, come on, seriously, look at this. One more place, Proverbs 21. Ladies, please hear this. Verse 9 says this: it is better to live in the corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious, one who is controlling, one who is strife, one who is quarrelsome. That's talking about the family. Nobody wants to be around one who loves to quarrel. Nobody wants to be around one who always likes to argue, who always likes to bring strife. And then right here, verse 19, it is better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. Vexing, like that's just like, there's no good answer, like vexing. Like, that's not good. It means one who is angry. And she argues endlessly. That's what that means. So you come to a place, man, our time is up, but you come to a place to try to understand that our words have an impact. And the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And if you would just honestly take a check, because I think this, if you could just bow your heads just for a minute, because I believe this. I believe that the two most powerful words possibly in the English language is I'm sorry. It's not I love you. It's because, yeah, that's powerful and that's great. But the one that brings the most effect, that I believe at times is the hardest to say, but I believe has the greatest power, is to say, I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? So come on, do a real check this morning, man. In your marriage, where are you in this? Is there just this harsh tone in the house? Do we forget to understand the power and the authority that our tongue has? Did we lose that power? Did we lose that authority? Do we now walk in a complete disrespect that we've lost sight of how powerful our tongues can be according to what God says? That you come to a place this morning. Say, God, I need to change the way I talk. No one can tame the tongue. It's an unruling evil, full of deadly poison. Except through divine intervention, through Jesus Christ, by His Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says all things become new. The Bible says that we're walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We're walking under self-control. And that certainly attaches itself to our mouths. Why would he give us so many warnings? Why would he give us, tell us to guard our mouth, to set a guard over the door of our lips, keep watch over the door of my mouth? Why would he tell us to guard our mouths if it was impossible? So, man, I'm asking you this morning that you would truly come to a place. Say, God, I need Holy Spirit help this morning. Open my eyes to see the words that maybe it's become. I think one of the most dangerous things in marriage is you just become so comfortable and you become so familiar with one another. We feel like we can just say whatever we want, and that's when you begin to take each other for granted. That's when marriage begins to go. That's when it stops progressing and starts going backwards, is when we begin to take each other for granted and we have a looseness about it to really feel that we can say what we want. I'm telling you, I think that so many here today could come to a place to really say, I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? Man, I know that I've hurt you in the past. I know that I hurt you yesterday. Man, maybe I even said something to you today that was just way out of line. Can I say this? I think so many times, and honestly, man, this is so real. When you really understand language, it's so many times not what you say, but it really is how you say it. If there is tone and there's this harsh attitude attached to something, it doesn't matter what you say. It matters to a point in the tone in which you say it, because we can be real harsh and real short in our tone. And that can do such great damage. Or we can bring great life. Or we can speak to encourage. The Bible says to let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be with grace. Let it always be with grace. Let it always be with kindness, as though seasoned with salt, that it's going to preserve life and not decay life. What if we live just by that? God, I want every word that I speak to be with grace, and that it will bring life, God, and it won't bring decay. Father, please, that we would come to a place this morning to understand this. If husbands and wives could just grab hands this morning, please. I'm asking you to have the courage. Whether you really say, man, I am that contentious woman. I have an edge about me. I argue about everything. I always want to be in control. I am that quarreling wife. That you'd recognize, man, you have been tortured to your husband. He'd rather live in the desert with no food and no water than be with you. That you'd come to a place and say, I'm so sorry. I need a gentle spirit. And husband, if you are that harsh individual, if you're that one that just, you feel because you're the man that you can spew anything out of your mouth, and you know the damage you've done, you know the hurt that you've brought, that you honestly would man up this morning and really come to a place to say, I am so sorry. I have brought such damage. Man, you've got to be real in marriage if it's going to work. I have brought such damage to our home, to our relationship, even to our kids and how I speak to our kids. I have brought such damage, and it needs to be fixed. I can either bring hurt or I can bring healing. I can either do damage or I can repair. I can either bring death or I can bring life to our home. Which is it going to be? Which is it going to be? It's your choice. Father, I ask that we would see the reality of this. This is so deep, God. It's so real. That today, Father, that you would begin to work a healing in our mouths. Begin to remove the hell from our mouths and come to a place to bring healing, to bring life, to bring repair, to bring forgiveness to our lips, to be able to get on a knee and ask for forgiveness to the family, to the kids, to our wives, to our husbands. God, that we would be able to do that, be courage enough to do that, and break the bonds in our home, that we would walk from today truly putting a guard over our mouth, that we won't allow us to come to ruin.
God, I ask for healing in our homes. God, I believe it comes through our words. I believe it comes through our words, God, that we would truly understand its authority, understand its power, and that we would respect it. Honestly, man, if you would just ask God to forgive you and ask your spouse to forgive you. And then as I have done many times, to get on my knees before my kids, myself, to say, man, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. But there's times we have to get before our kids and show a graceful, godly spirit that's willing to ask forgiveness, even of our kids. That will change your home. That will change the atmosphere of your home. You could lay aside self and ask God to fill your mouth. Jesus, please let this just sit in our hearts. Help us to go over this and over this and over this. It's on us to guard our mouth. It's on us to protect what comes out our mouth. God, that we would speak life. And that our homes will be different. And that our homes will be different. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, folks, let's close in a song, please.